It feels like it's one of those weeks where we remind ourselves that this is our passion project and not our vocation.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's real hard. But then some weeks you have to face your limitations, and those weeks are challenging because the end result does not always meet the expectation or meet the desired expectation in the face of the limitations of a given period.
I understood what you said, but most people don't.
I don't believe that's true. Board gamers are smart.
Whenever you're ready, let's just.
I feel like I can guide this one. We'll be okay. You did play Tabletop Simulator, right? Okay, cool.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we fail at graphing XY coordinates in Targai and give away the game-winning tribe card. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. Where are we?
Behind on everything.
That is right. I want to read what you wrote in the show document. We weren't sure we were going to talk about this, but in the show document, you said, I think there's a humanizing angle where we are upfront about being behind from where we'd hope to be. And then you had written, not sure if that's a side of the project that you want or you think is good to share. And yeah, like there's a level where we don't want to tell people when we're behind or what we're not doing well, right? There is some level of that. But I think you're absolutely right. I do think it is really important if we're showing this process honestly, we are talking about, you know, things we're not doing. We're talking about that we said on Patreon, we were going to publish an article a week. We haven't done that. It's 3 weeks. We published one. So I think it is good to talk about that. So that's where we are.
It's funny. You took the, I'm not sure if the rationale or the excuse is the word that I'm looking for, but you took the, I would call it the punchline, but we're not telling a joke. Do you know the word I'm trying to think of?
Rabbit.
Nailed it.
No idea.
It was like you set up getting in trouble for not doing the homework. And then you arrived at kind of the compassionate response without the browbeating ourselves about the homework piece.
Look at me.
I think we'll maybe talk about more of the article thing because I was just confused about the release schedule. I have eyes on writing the May article coming up, the newsletter for May, but getting clarification on when we're going to do the release schedule for the alternating articles with the shows. I do have an article to write about Targai. I just got to play it this past weekend.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was when you said it.
Oh, yeah. New game that I played with a friend.
Cool.
But I think the core of it that you beat me to was in our open, I think in the first show and in all of our planning, we've always talked about this concept of we're working within the means that we have. And I think we've just been a little low on means the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I have felt overwhelmed in life, right? It's not something we really talk about on the podcast, but with the Misplay and everything that we've got going on and everything that we're working on and everything that we want to be doing and the advice and the conversations that we're getting from people in Discord, there's just so much that we could be working on and developing and going back to, but we haven't had the time.
End of school year is a brutal time.
Yeah.
But by the same token, we're still taking steps, even if they're smaller steps or steps that aren't getting us as far as we had planned on being for this show. Today, we're going to talk about Tabletop Simulator and our very introductory forays into it.
That's right. Before we start, this week's episode is brought to you by Koenig Creations. Koenig Creations is a print and play design studio that seeks to make accessible, fun games that are easy to print. Their games include Vault, a solitaire dice game, and Flip Freighters, a competitive flip and fill game. Both games have been adapted for Board Game Arena and are available to play for free. If you'd like to know more about Koenig Creations, visit their website at koenigcreations.com. That's KoenigCreations.com. Koenig Creations. They also have a Kickstarter coming up on May 7th for a Vault expansion. Check that out on Kickstarter. Koenig Creations. What are we working on?
Tabletop simulator. Trying to. There's a big learning curve.
Yes. A lot of people listening to us right now are familiar with Tabletop Simulator. A lot of people listening right now use it frequently. But there's going to be some people that are like, I don't know what that is. What is Tabletop Simulator?
Tabletop Simulator is a Steam game by Berserk Games that creates a board game making sandbox. You can put in and play vintage classic games or whatever game you're able to bring the components from. Or for our purposes, it is the premier space to create prototypes and play test your game virtually.
And there's a little, you know, we talked about AI ethics last week. There's a little ethics involved with Tabletop Simulator as well, because, you know, for example, I played a game this week that I don't believe is licensed. I don't believe, you know, is receiving any money when I play it in Tabletop Simulator. I know that the community always says, if you enjoy the game in Tabletop Simulator that you played, consider buying it. Consider going out and supporting the company that actually made the game that you're playing. Do you have any ethics issues with Tabletop Simulator?
Not an informed opinion, because it's the first time that I'm thinking about it. It's actually hard for me, full disclosure, and maybe this is alluding to something that one of the members of the Misplay was sharing. It's hard for me to imagine myself deciding to sit down and play a game on Tabletop Simulator.
I'm going to read that quote right now. So we have a member of the Misplay. His name is Brian R. And when he found out that we were going to be working with Tabletop Simulator, this is what he had said to us. He said, "Be prepared to absolutely hate Tabletop Simulator. You know my love of games, but I can't stand it because you have to move everything yourself all the time. Part of the great thing about playing games on the PC is the automated value. Tabletop Simulator has none of that. Just figured I'd give you a heads up. It's still a good testing tool, but requires more work than you might expect." Brian R.
And that more work piece is definitely true.
Sure. Absolutely. He's not wrong.
For my part, I know you decided to play a game. You got a group of Misplay folks together and you played a game on Tabletop Simulator.
Yes.
What'd you play?
We played a game of Love Letter, which is a social deduction game where you're trying to be the last person alive at the table or kill off everybody else in the round so that you're the person who gets the favor of the princess. I really like Love Letter. It's a really quick game to set up and introduce the new people, where when I explain the game, when I'm playing in person with people, I'm just like, draw a card, play a card. That's how I teach that game. Draw a card, play a card. So I thought that would be a good game to initially play on Tabletop Simulator because I could find it and we didn't have to worry about spending time like talking about the rules of the game, because what we really wanted to understand was how to move things around, how to interact with Tabletop Simulator. And highlight, you can flip the table.
I did that while I was trying to put in cards to work on prototyping a game and flip the table and was like, how do I undo it? I just dumped more time than I care to admit on the floor. Yeah. And I don't know how to pick it up.
That's funny. Our situation was different. Other Mark was playing, and I had baroned them and knocked them out of the game and they flipped the table, which is a fun thing to do, right?
It's pretty good. Aside from flipping the table, how's the UI for you?
How is the UI? I mean, it's tricky. It's hard. There's a lot to, but it's like anything. If you put time into it, if you use it frequently, you get better at it. You know, the tasks become less complicated. But as a beginner, even playing a game where you're just literally flipping a card and playing a card, it did take us a while to figure out what wasn't visible to the opponent that you had to move it to your hand.
The shadow box.
The shadow box. Yeah. To Brian R's point, like, it's a little tricky to navigate. And I'm sure with a more complicated game, it's even trickier. But I jumped in other games that were open to the public just to see what other people were doing. I was so impressed with the detail of other people's games and setup. People were playing, you know, games I didn't even recognize, and games like Catan that I do. And everything was like so neatly laid out, and they were like digital counters for things. So I think the people who are really experienced with it, I don't think it's a hassle. But if you're just like jumping over and trying to figure it out, yeah, it's challenging. But it allows you to play a game with somebody who lives in New York, and I played with somebody who lives in the Carolinas. So it's like, there's no other way to do that, right? Well, technically there are, but it does not substitute for in-person playing, but when the people around you cannot be in person, I did really like it. And I'm looking forward to using it as we move forward.
Sure. I think it's one of those necessary tools. You've outlined all of the great reasons for using it. It's just the high learning curve. And I think for me, it was the high learning curve plus the low capacity last couple of weeks that we've had that made it feel really cumbersome.
I'll add on, because we talked about it earlier in the show. Before recording the show, you and I were hoping to have imported MMA Gauntlet into Tabletop Simulator, played it with each other. We were hoping we had made changes to the game based on feedback that we had gotten after that show, and we haven't been able to do that. For this episode, we were really hoping to talk about some different things, about how we are using it to develop our games, but we're behind. We're not there yet.
Yeah, so I guess shifting into what my tasks and experience with it were for the last couple of weeks, I didn't even think about playing a game on it. I went right into and watched the video tutorials that were actually very helpful. They were very clear in like what to do and how to do. I watched all of them, which was probably a little bit of a mistake because there was a lot more detail and nuance than the need that I had this week. I found the tutorials were very good. However, I ran into like big problem number one. I'm working on a Mac right now. The directions are definitely Windows. And I looked at the video. I don't want to share how many times I watched the first, like the 30 seconds that I was trying to isolate.
Okay.
But I watched this loop of how to put your cards into the deck editor or like the deck design or something. And was like, I'm doing it perfectly. I found it in my Mac. I found it in the files. I found the modding folder. I could not run the deck editor in the modding folder that they were talking about in the video. So I went to Google and I asked questions and was like, oh, how do I find this on Mac? And they were like, well, you probably have to be running Java on your Mac. And I was like, I don't know that I'm allowed to do that with the work laptop that I'm writing on right now. I did find a workaround. I can put one card at a time in. And for MMA Gauntlet,
we're only playing with Counterpuncher.
So it's cool because I was able to put in one Power Puncher and then you like copy paste it essentially to have the number of copies that you need. And so for MMA Gauntlet, where we're only playing with the current version is only 12 unique cards, it's very reasonable to just one for one put all of them in, but will definitely not be sustainable in a world where we scaled it up with some of the scaling features that were in part of feedback. I was texting with Peter in a panic at like 4 a.m. while I was working on this one evening, and it was like, I got like this far, I'm stuck, what do I do? And Peter is a lot further along in learning the game design part than I am right now. So he sent me the way that he's doing it, and hopefully that way will work on Mac. But he also sent me a message that was like, I've managed to get cards loaded and have just started with scripting, and that's hard. And I was like, I don't even know what scripting is.
Yeah, me either.
I assume that's like some amount of like programming to like automate a little bit.
That's my guess.
But that's still beyond where I'm at right now. But I mean, like, I think like it's very customizable. The use of the build your own board game feature is very customizable. And I would recommend for anybody who's on a Windows setup, the tutorial videos are very good at showing you how to design your own game, if that's a thing that you're interested in. I just ran into a hiccup at very late that didn't work very well for me. So technical glitches and those things aside, the glaring thing that kind of came up for me was, what are we going to use to create our custom assets? Because you have to have something to import. And so the question then is, what is the mechanism that will make the cards for MMA Gauntlet? Where am I going to make those? Because that's where you have to create the files that you'll be uploading into the deck editor or into the tabletop simulator. Where do those assets come from is kind of the next step.
Yeah, in my head, I'd always assume there was just like the go-to program that you use, and it's very straightforward. And, you know, you can, you know, if you have 12 cards, there's 12 cards on the screen, and you just visually type or add a picture, or do whatever you want, and then just upload and you're done in seconds. That's how, like, I thought it was done.
I mean, I think roughly yes, because everything that I uploaded is were just PNG files. So I took, I think I shared like anecdotally, I use the software that I use to make my instructional materials for work. I use that to make my mockups for MMA Gauntlet. So I just screenshotted all of the things that I was using for my MMA Gauntlet things, turned them into PNGs, and that's a file that you can upload from. So my card back, the names of the cards, the text, all of those things I was able to create into the right files. But if somebody didn't have my instructional materials program, what would we use?
Yeah, I think one of the de factos is like InDesign, but I don't know how that works with Tabletop Simulator. I know that is a piece of software that people use for designing board games and mm-hmm. board game components and the art, but I don't know. I didn't, like I said, I just got into the game, right? And I'm flipping tables and, you know.
But I mean, so I think this is where we are, right? This is what we're working on. Is we're trying to find how are we going to take the learning that we've done so far and get a more complete picture. I think InDesign, you're mentioning InDesign, like all it is finding something that's going to generate the text, the pictures, and the layouts of the things that we're going to import, because everything you import can come from your computer. So as long as you have it in files that are compatible with the import for Tabletop Simulator, we can do it. I think it's just a matter of determining what program or software we need and then getting ourselves set up to learn that software as well, so that once we have assets built for whatever game, that we're ready to bring them into Tabletop Simulator. And
I'm sitting here and listening to you talk, and all I'm thinking is, I'm so excited for this episode, The Air, because our community has been so great. Someone's just going to jump in and go, guys, what are you doing? This is what you should be using. What are you doing? That's what I expect to hear.
Where's the Board Game Design Lab episode on Tabletop Simulator?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Gotta go back and listen.
Right?
Go find it.
Wayne Koenig from Koenig Creations, he sent me a different site that you can use to create like a tabletop card game. It was called playingcards.io. And he said it was something that he's used in the past to create and test games. So I know that's one option. You know, Tabletop Simulator is not the only way to go about this. I think it is a very popular one. And I did really like the VR aspect of, you know, kind of being in that room and looking around. I thought it was neat.
The amount of versatility that Tabletop Simulator offers, I think, is what makes it so popular and makes it kind of what feels like the premier way to prototype and test in a virtual space. I think for us, it's just a matter of getting over the learning curve. I think it's just more time on learning how to design in it, more learning how to upload things, become efficient and become fluent in using it. And I think it will become that like useful tool that we want it to be. And it's just going to be a product of more time.
And taking it back to, you know, what we talked about in the beginning, where we had said, you know, we're behind, we don't feel like we're doing as much as we wanted to be able to do. We're telling the story perfectly. Like, we're being honest and upfront about where we're at. I'd love to look back in a year and say, these guys, right? And for us to be in a position where we have a game on Tabletop Simulator that looks cool, is smooth, and that we are testing.
In terms of where we are in, is journey the wrong word? I think where we are, I think there are two projects, right? There's the podcast project, which is documenting the game design and the company and those pieces, right?
Yes.
So there's project podcast, and then there is project build the company, design the game. We are more practiced. We are more proficient in project podcast than we are in build company, build board game. We're also not trying to adhere to a specific timeline. We had things that we wanted to try to accomplish for this show, but in the long-term goal of design a board game from the ground up and put it to Kickstarter, because that's the goal, right? So from build game to crowdfunding.
It's a podcast, but I've been nodding my head this whole time, Mark.
But like, it's the two different pots. We've got Project Podcast and Project Game. Yes, we're quote unquote behind on Project Game, but that's still part of Project Podcast. And I think this is a good way of continuing both. We could have easily been like, oh, we're too behind and we're not going to record. You would have fired me if I had proposed that.
I would have.
But so Project Podcast continues, and we just have to reevaluate and kind of look at what didn't work for Project Build the Game and where are we going to pick up so that we can continue, even if it's not at the rate that we were hoping to be moving at.
So what's next? What does that mean for the next episode?
I think that means we just stay the course. The like next point that we're aiming at is get something of ours into Tabletop Simulator that we can play and test, broaden our knowledge of Tabletop Simulator and the skills required to use it efficiently. So I think it's just continuing on towards that. I have made some amount of changes and updates to MMA Gauntlet based on some of the feedback from Discord and our discussion of the playtest. And I think there is a lot of potential to blend the need for iteration on the game and the learning that I need to do on Tabletop Simulator. And so I think as kind of like the next step, I'm going to use some design elements and some ideas based on feedback that will help with building fluency and skill with Tabletop Simulator for MMA Gauntlet.
And I think MMA Gauntlet is the perfect game for us to put into Tabletop Simulator. But also know that, you know, behind the scenes, Peter is working on StarCross Realms. He is himself playing around with Tabletop Simulator a little bit. And we are still talking about potential cards that might go into that game and how that game is going to work. So we don't have all of the eggs in one basket. We're not just doing one thing at the moment.
I like that not having all the eggs in the basket. I think it's about we're still just exploring a variety of ideas. You know, we're getting multiple people learned up on how to use Tabletop Simulator. And so, you know, different projects, different games, and eventually we're all going to come around. Like at some point, everyone will have the skill and the proficiency and we'll come around and be using it as a group to start to refine our playtest process. Cause that's the next like date. That's like the next point, right? Get a game in that we can finish, like learn Tabletop Simulator with some amount of proficiency. But the real goal is to develop what our playtest cycle is going to look like. Like the longer term outcome.
Yes.
The misplay.
Don't stop believing.
The Misplay is brought to you by...
That's not right.
The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. Hello, and welcome to The Misplay, where we fail at graphing XY coordinates in Targai. My name... Oh.
And mess up the opening. Cut. Take two.
I'm so bummed. I pride myself on a good read of the opener and a good read of the patrons at the end.
Yeah.
Ruin the streak. Hello, and welcome to The Misplay, where we fail at graphing XY coordinates in Targai.
Oh. Days since the last mess up?
Zero.
Now that wasn't fair. I was shaking and making hand movements.
Hello, and welcome to The Misplay, where we fail at graphing XY coordinates in Targai and give away the winning game tribe.
Transposition error.
Someone's good at their reading assessments.
Cut. Fourth take.
Shh.